Habakkuk chapter 3 again. And we shared together, remember, that Habakkuk is one of the prophets, along with Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel, that are dealing with Jerusalem, Judah, and the Babylonian army about to come down. So they're looking at it, and Habakkuk looking at Jerusalem, very terrible condition, very sad. Even worse than that is the Babylonians that God has used to mercilessly, they have no mercy, it seems, to come and go against Jerusalem. So Habakkuk's looking, and he is very much in the ball game, looking at the world realistically. You need to look at the world realistically with reality. If you're looking at things and you try to see them through make-believe, it won't work. The real, real things of life coming and going, your own heart beat, and everything that you can see, touch, taste, and smell, you need to see that against reality, truth, God. If you don't, then you're going to have to make-believe a lot. You make believe about things. And once you stop making believing, you aren't going to come up with the right answers. Now, so here's Habakkuk, and we share together as you came to the end. He is going to wonderfully be delighted in the working of God, even though God is going to strip the land of Jerusalem, level the temple and all of that. Habakkuk is excited that God is doing what he's doing, and we shared together in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. God's will for Habakkuk's life, God's will for Jerusalem, but God has a wonderful plan for his prophets in the midst of it all. And thus he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to live, to outwork God's will for his life. Now, and then you came to the end, verse 19 we looked at, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And that's two words, two Hebrew words. And we looked at them. I'm going to take a look again, if I can, since I think it would be helpful. Now, so in order to get this, and that's a verb, to the chief singers is a verb. It's an intensive verb. It's a participle. It means it keeps on going, like telephone poles. They keep going. It doesn't stop. It's intensive, and it doesn't stop, is the action of the word. That's every time it's used in where we're going, almost. It's intensive. Moving, it doesn't quit. Now, over, if you would, to take a little exercise to Psalm 1. No, to Psalm 4. In Psalm 4, and you will note in the beginning of Psalm 4, you will see the same word, to the chief musician. Now remember, Habakkuk isn't talking about having a choir lead music. He just got through looking at everything, and he is prayerfully excited and delighted that God is doing something. He isn't going to sing, turn around and everyone to sing a hymn. He isn't doing that. So you have to think that, though, to the chief musician. But it's a verb. Now, and that verb, intensive as we shared together, denotes superiority, being over, above, beyond, to conquer, to excel, to preside over. It has to do with standing at the head, presiding at the front, being the chief overseer. Overseer is the word. And thus, and the noun, when the noun comes along, which we looked at, it has to do with superiority and strength and victory and excellency and endurance and everlastingness and permanency. All of those words are all of those words. You got to put them all together to get the meaning. Wow. Boy, is it rich, rich, rich word, full of life. Now, let's see how it works out. In Psalm 4:1, you have the and to the stringed instruments, you have that in Habakkuk 3 and here, as it were, Niganoth. And you have that, and it has to do with playing music, to play by the hand on stringed instruments, whatever the stringed instruments are, to play music on a stringed instrument, whatever kind it is, to play the music. Now, so here is the strength overseer, and put that into movement. Put that into a stringed instrument, a movement, a lifting up. Let's see how that works out. Now, in the light of that, and keeping in mind, if you would, here in the Psalm 4:1, you have the beginning, 4:1, to the chief musician. And that is used pretty much 56 times, 56 psalms. 56 psalms are going to use that word, one word. That one word, one over and over and over and over again. So that's rather helpful. And thus in looking now, and since it's intensive, etc., and it has to do with the one, or they, or the singular, or the one who is superintending, the one who has the oversight, and it's used of a title of the Lord God Jehovah. It's used as a title of him. And for interest's sake, if you're interested, if you went to the Latin Vulgate and you did that translation, and you went to the Chaldean paraphrase and you did that, and you went to the Greek Septuagint and you did that, and all of the old translations of this word, all of them, when they all translated, they don't translate it chief musician. It's here, but it isn't anywhere else translated like that. And so in the process now of looking at that word and here and saying it in the Septuagint, you would find the Greek words to the end, to the eternal one, and the Vulgate, to the end, quoting it, the Chaldean, for the one triumphant, to the victor, to the giver of victory. And you have, those are just some of them, as you go down. Instead of chief musician, you have all of those translations. And is that reasonable? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, over in the light of that, over, if you would please, to Jeremiah chapter 8. Since we're in a study of Jeremiah, usually on Wednesday, Jeremiah chapter 8. And picking up, if I may, in verse 8 and verse 5. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? And the word backsliding and apostasy. Why are they perpetual is our word to the chief musician. Perpetual. It means keeps going. They don't quit. Here they're going backwards, the wrong way, and they aren't slowing down. They aren't stopping. They are set. They are determined. They have set their heart and mind, and they're going above and beyond what they should do. They're just going to keep going perpetually, everlasting. When are they going to stop? When are they going? They're going in the wrong direction. Okay. Now go in the right direction, over, if you would, to Ezra. Ezra and chapter 3. And we'll see the verb. And in Ezra chapter 3, picking up, please, in thought, I'm going to go to verse 8. You'll catch it. Now, in the second year of their coming back to Jerusalem from Babylon, under the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Josedech, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests, the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity into Jerusalem, and in particular, appointed the Levites to be what? From 20 years old and upward, to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, to make it, to have the oversight. The Levites were in charge of the temple work, and all of them from 20 years old and up, they were the superintendents. They were the overseers. They're the overseers. And they're going forward. Jeremiah, they're going backwards. Ezra, they're going forwards. So the word, we got it going backwards, and we got it going forwards. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, to the 1 Samuel and chapter 16. And may I pick up in thought our word to on stringed instruments to play. Now, what you're going to get the sense of David, who does all these things. He's the one that says to the chief musician on stringed instruments. And so we're going to get a flavor now of where he's coming from and the words. Two words. 1 Samuel chapter 16, picking up, if I can, in verse 16. Remember now, Saul is having a problem. Saul needs to be helped, and music helps him, and they were looking for someone to come that was spiritually able to stimulate and stir and comfort King Saul. And thus in chapter, I'll read verse 15, and Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player, who can play. Someone plays the harp. David could play instruments. A cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall make the music, with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Verse 17. Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning to play. He plays very skillfully, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person. The Lord is with him. God's with this guy. And when he plays, man, it'd be like someone that was really there, and their heart's in it, and their head's right with God, and they sing. Boy, you get the message. You pick it up. It's not just someone singing. They're singing from their heart. And the whole words, the mood, it's there. It's coming out of here. Wow. That catches you. Ah. David was like that. David was. Now, and so, in the light of that, skipping if I can. He was a valiant, mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, comely in person, and the Lord is with him. Verse 18. Verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp, and he played, there's your word, verb, with his hand, and so Saul was refreshed, and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So here's David being a spiritual influence, and thus so much so that Saul is comforted, encouraged. Now, taking that's the word stringed instrument. Now, putting that into focus now, David played, and the Spirit of God worked in his heart. David was controlled, governed, guided by the Spirit of God in his skill, in his heart, in his words. He reflected and represented God's grace and mercy and kindness. And that's what came out. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, let's take a little trip and exercise your Bible. Over to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Now you know, think of what we just did with David. Now when Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and they went across that great 4.5 mile stretch of the water or whatever it was, and then came verse 1. Now, what did they do? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. They sang a song. And where did that song originate? Who stirred the heart for the music and the words? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. So here they are, and all Israel, they all aren't on the same page, but Moses is, and some of the people are, and they lead the singing in exalting and honoring God. God, the overcoming one, the victor, the one who gives triumph, and they're singing to him that which he has just done. And they're on the other side of the Red Sea. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 31. God, are you involved? I am. What happens if we are on the wrong side of the fence here and we aren't right with you, God? Now what? Chapter 31, Deuteronomy. Picking up, please, you'll remember verse 19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you. Teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouth. Make them learn to say it. That purpose, that this song may be a witness for me, for God, against the children of Israel. I want you to teach them the song. The words of the song will awaken their heart and get them right. They're wrong. I want them to sing the words. You say, well, that I hate those words. I'm telling, I want them to have a confession, a statement of the reality, back to reality, of the realities, so that they can win. If they make believe about them, it'll never work. You can't do that. So now, verse 30. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. So here's Moses delivering this message in song. Now, back over, if you would, please, to Psalm. And, there's all 56 of them or so. 56, I think, thereabouts. And in the process, let's go just to have a little journey to get the sense of it. I'll go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. To the chief musician, to the overcoming one, to the overcoming one, the overcoming one says to the believer, be overcoming. How can the believers be overcoming? Because of the overcoming one. Who is that? The chief musician. He's the eternal one. He's the one that's in charge all the time. Wow. So in Psalm 46, just one of them, to the chief musician. And then you know, verse 1, God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. So when I look at this and I read the Psalms, I see that at the top of the Psalm, to the chief musician. And now, I'm going to look for something. I'm going to look, God is saying, God is leading in this these words. So as I read the words, God is leading. He's the one that is the overseer. He's the one that put it into practice way back then. And we're still using it, and rightly so. So now, picking up all kinds of, over to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What a wonderful thing to get and understand. God, the overcomer, says, I want you to know this. I want you to know it. I'm the overcoming one, and I want you to know this. So when you're singing this, I am directing you to be able to say those words and exercise them in a wonderful way. Over, if you would, to Psalm 47. To the chief musician. O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He is the great King over all the earth. Skipping down if I can. Verse 6, sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, the nations, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. And as you're reading, God said, I want you to know, I'm directing your heart and mind to pay attention to what I want to say. Hear ye my son, hear him. Now, over if you would please. In the light of that, 62. Psalm 62. Just giving you a flavor of it so you get the idea. Because you want to be able to read your Bible. And you, as we shared in Sunday school, you want the food to go down your stomach. And that's once you tasted it and chewed it, it's all over, except down it goes. But that's just the beginning. The real wonderment, as we shared, is when that food is absorbed through your small intestine and you assimilate it and it becomes life. So you can move your hands and your feet and your brain and your heart and you can move life. That's what that food is all about, giving you life. God's word is wonderful death on the cross made possible. Life. Now, so in the light, Psalm 62, to the chief musician, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved. And you just keep reading and reading and reading, and wow, verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him, God is a refuge for us, wow. In picking up verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. So as I'm reading, I'm encouraged, God, you're directing these words, and I'm to be a recipient, a receiver of the information, and I want to know where it's coming from. It's coming from you. Uh-huh. Now, picking up, please. 139. Psalm 139. And in Psalm 139, you know, David again, to the chief musician, and then thou hast, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known my heart, and remember the whole psalm is about the omnipresence of God. You can't go anywhere, in any way, shape, or form, and hide from God. It's impossible to hide from God anywhere. You never hide from God. Never. Wow. To the chief musician. And thus, you have the wonderful statements over and over again. And thus, You go over to verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more than number, than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God, you know I can never get out of your presence, and you want me to be understanding that you are the one that's have the oversight. I do. And I want you to understand that. I am an ever-present God. And my thoughts and my ways are higher than the heavens about you. I want you to know that. So when I start off, that's how I started the psalm. How I started it. I'm looking to God. Looking to God. I'm going to read and look to God. Wow. Now, over Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, picking up, please, in thought, and again to the chief musician, David, and then you go down and you know the flavor of it. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, all personal pronouns, in whom I will trust, my buckler, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies, etc. And you keep reading a wonderful, wonderful psalm. And you're reading it. And David, you're going to tell us what? Well, listen, I was there and God directed this thing. God directed it and I sang it and wrote it. That's what I did. God, and I did it, God. And here we got it. Wow. Where'd it come from? The chief overseer. The victor, the one who triumphs, the one who presides over everything. He did it. He said it. Now, Psalm 66. Psalm 66. If I can, in verse 1, up there to the chief musician, and again, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Though through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, and they shall sing to thy name, Selah. Verse 5, come and see the works of God. He is terrible. He is doing toward the children, in his doing toward the children of men. Sliding down, if I can, to verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us, and thou hast tried us as silver is tried. We've been put through the ringer, the test, trial, trouble, heartache, headache. Verse 11. Thou brought us into the net. That you didn't. You didn't keep the net from us. You allowed us to go smack dab into it. Thou hast tried. Verse 11. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou hast laid affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. And the word wealthy is saturated. And remember the word saturate, to take a sponge, if you would. Take a sponge and put it in the water and let it absorb. Absorb totally 1,000%. And the sponge, when you pick it up, it's dripping. It is saturated. It is saturated. Saturated. Wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. And God is going and tells, he said, to the priest that honor me, to the people that honor me, I will saturate their soul. I'll make it full, full, saturated, saturated. I lead them. Where were you doing? Why did you do this? To bring Israel into a saturated place, in a full place, to know the wonderful blessing and reality of a great God and Savior. Wow. Now, so in the light, in verse 12, verse 13, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. God, I owe you thanksgiving, which my lips have uttered. My mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I, God, I cried unto you. I will offer unto thee burnt offer sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. And come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done, not for you, for me. That's your testimony. What God has done for you. That's what people need to hear. What God has done for you. There has to be some reality. All the religiousness and all the hoopla and everything going on is not going to do you a bit of good. You can have 45 activities and 17 zillion things going in the name of religion, church, ritual. You can do it. And the Bible, we're at the end of the age now, so be of good cheer. God tells you what's going to happen at the end. So God isn't going to be interested. No one's interested comparatively more and more in God. As we shared Sunday night, apostasy. You can count it. It's where it is. You say, well, no, it's where it is. It's where we're going. We're headed there, and nothing's going to stop it. No, and that doesn't mean you're a pessimist. On the contrary, you're an optimist, because it has to go down in order to come up. That's the way it is. And God, you know that. You already told us why. So we're going to look to you and be encouraged and stimulated in the whole thing. It's a wonderful time, a fearsome time. Wow. Awesome time, but it's a wonderful time. Now, so in the process to lead Israel into a wealthy place, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings, etc. I cried unto him, verse 17, with my mouth, and I was extolled with my tongue, and he was extolled with my tongue. I honored God. I gave God wonderful, wonderful recognition for who he was. Wonderfully, wonderfully so. Now, having said that, Psalm 32. And here, David, and you have the word maskil up in the front, and that has to do understanding ones, be understanding. The psalm is written for the people that are going to need understanding in the day in which they live. They're going to have understanding. Maskil, and you'll find them all the way down the road. Now, in Psalm 32, David, you're going to tell us, you're going to teach us, you're going to give us some understanding. Aha, I am. Now, so picking up, please, you know he had his problems with things, and he confessed his sin. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, on mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I do the confessing, you do the forgiving, God. I don't ask for forgiveness. You have done that. Verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Verse 7, thou art my hiding place, and shall preserve me from trouble. Thou art where I'm hiding in you, God, under the shadow of thy wings. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass, surround me, like a city being surrounded. Thou shalt surround me with songs of deliverance. God, you're going to go and take my life. Here I am, going down the corridor of time. And you're going to go, and I goofed, and boy, David paid a price for over a year before he got his act right with God. And now, in the process, God surrounds with what? Songs of deliverance. So where are the songs going to come from? Well, come from God. Come from God. God's, we're in trouble. We need his mercy and grace. And God, you're going to have to go and rescue us. And when I turn to God and allow God to be God to rescue me, all of a sudden I learn. I start saying thank you, thoughtfully thankful, looking to God, and my heart is moved, and I'm light is there, right is there, R-I-G-H-T. My heart is lifted. So instead of being disappointed, depressed, discouraged, everything deceived and dismayed and all of that stuff, well, I'm looking to God, and God's going to encourage my heart. That's what God's going to do. Wow. If I let him. But I have to come to God. That's why Deuteronomy 31, they had the song, you sing this, teach Israel this song, it'll be against them. They have to pay attention. They aren't right with me. Sing the song. Tell them that they're wrong. And they need to get right. If you don't tell them that, you'll be guilty yourself. And they need to know that. Because you've got to get right with God. You can't play around with it. It won't work. Nothing works. You, God, do it rightly, and it works. And God, you surround us with songs of deliverance, and therefore we learn a song. Where'd you learn to sing? Oh, it isn't like in the hymn book. A lot of hymns can come like that. No, you'll learn another kind of song. Another kind. We'll look at it in just a moment. Another kind of song for your heart. Another kind. Wow. Over, if you would. In your Bible, Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And you'll notice, please, in Psalm 42, if I can, to the chief musician, Maskil, to boot, you're adding them all together. Wow. And now in the light of that, remember that my tears have been, there's the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. God, I got to hunt. God, you got to help me. Got to help me with the reality of who you are to see who I am and how I can handle it. My tears, verse 3, have been my meat, food, day and night. While they continually say unto me, they want to know where is your God. They don't want to care what church you go to. They want to know where your God is. Now, if you say church, then they don't say anything. But if you're going to talk about your personal God, you got a personal God, they want to know where that is. See, they don't care about going to church. You can go to any church you want. Do whatever you want. You want to know God personally, the indwelling God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ah, now where's your God then? You say you know God. You say you're a child of God, a son of God. Oh, I am. Wow. Then you're an odd creature. If you're really true, let me touch you and see if you're real. Let me look at your life, because I won't believe anything else. You can give me all the words you want. I want to see if you're real. That's what the world needs. The world needs to know that you're real. That's what they're looking for. Young people and all of them, 30s, 40s, the Y, the millennium generation, etc. They're all confused. Is there any reality? Aha, there is. Now, so in Psalm 42, and when I remember these things, I come, verse 4, I pour out my soul, I'll read verse 4. My seers have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, they pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. I went looking for God. I went to where God was. I was going to go to God. With a multitude, I went to them that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, all anxious in my heart, in me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help, for the healing of his countenance, his face. God, you are delighted to be who you are. And when we look at you, all sadness has to sink down, God. You are wonderfully delighted to be who you are. There's not one thing in all of forever that is a problem that you haven't solved, that you are not solving, including the devil and all of his angels. Nothing's going on in the UN and the terrorist, all the different problems, government everywhere. God, nothing's going on that you don't know about. Mm-hmm.
That's right. God.
And when I look at you, God, you are absolutely certain about everything. If I look at people and turn on television media, well, then we ought to have a lot to worry about and a lot to think about. But then I look to you, God, and I look at your word, to the chief musician, to the one. And God, I stand at attention. I got it. And thus, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Verse 8, wonderfully. For yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God, and my prayer unto the God of my life. God, in the middle of the night, when I can't see the beginning and the end, but you're there. And to you, there is no darkness. So God, in the middle of my night, you surround me with songs of deliverance. And when I start looking to you and trusting you with all my heart, something wonderful will occur. Not a guess, for real, when I do that. The Spirit of God will honor it, for real, no make-believe. Wow. Now, so in the light of all that, Isaiah 38. Isaiah chapter 38. And you would keep in mind, if you would, chapter 38, going to the you remember the context real quickly, Hezekiah has, the enemy's coming. And Hezekiah says, we're going to get clipped and clobbered by the enemy. And so, and he prays, you know, he just needs healing, health. He needs to outlast the problem there. Chapter 38, verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. So instead of dying, because he was getting ready to die, preparing his house, and instead of that, he said, all right, God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. And he did. He gave him 15 more years. Now, what was Hezekiah's wonderful reaction to that? Over to verse 19. The living shall praise thee as I do this day. I am a man on planet earth. I am counted among all the thousands of people of earth. I am one of them, and I am going to look to you with praise. As I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. God, I'm going to honor you as king. I'm going to make it known to all of the people. The Lord was ready, verse 20, to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. The rest of my life, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to honor you. God, you gave me. I'm going to honor you with the rest of my life. Wow. Now, in the light of that, if you would please, to pick up the thought, the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Remember the resurrection, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and in the process, they're there, they heard and were involved, Christ was crucified and buried, and that ended that. And therefore, they're on their way home, and that was the end of their hero, and the end of their hopes, and the end of their anything. Chapter 24, verse 16. Verse 15. And it came to pass that while they were communing together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. God kept himself from being known. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? Sad. You're very sad. Now they're going to tell him. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we have trusted that it had been he which should redeem Israel. And beside all this, the day is the third day since these things were done. Now, why are you so sad? You ought to be glad. The overseer, the triumphant one, the victory one, has won the victory. They won the victory. Won it. He had to go to the cross to make it possible. All of those checks that all of the believers in the Old Testament had, every time they looked to God and believed God, and God, they all had the checks and walked around and put the check in their pocket and said, I have it. And it couldn't be cash. Not yet. It had to be a deposit. God had to have a deposit in the bank to pay the check. To pay the checks. They're written. They're good checks. But you got to wait until the Son comes. And the Son paid the bill. Now all those checks are good. All those checks are good, my dear friend. And they cashed them. They wonderfully cashed those checks. Now, and here they are. Why are you sad? I've risen. What are you didn't understand that I have given you life. L-I-F-E. No, we don't understand that. Do you know how many believers don't understand that today? They don't understand it today. They speak about it. But they don't possess it in the sense practically. It isn't there. Wow. No wonder no one's excited very much. And anyway, now, over again, and you know, without turning there in John chapter 16, remember, the Lord will say, I'm going to go away, and when I go away, the Spirit of God is going to come. And when the Spirit of God comes, He's going to give you wonderful, wonderful life. The Spirit of God is going to give you, among other things, a wonderful reality of life, among which and in which, and by which, is going to be joy. Wonderful, wonderful joy in your heart. Why? Because you aren't looking at circumstances or self or anything. You're going to look to God. You're going to look to God. And God isn't crippled, and God isn't depressed, and God isn't defeated, and God isn't at a loss about anything. Therefore, to the chief musician, overcoming ones, be overcoming because of the overcomer, the one who has triumphed. That's how to move forward. Wow. Now, having said that, over to Acts chapter 16. Let's see. Very quickly. Acts chapter 16, we'll tie it together a little bit. Thank you. You remember Paul and Silas, remember they're in jail, and you remember it. A little word, a little verb. There they are in jail, dear friend. In the midnight, in bonds, you know. And now, what would you do? We say, boy, you couldn't get into more trouble than that. Wow, in trouble. That's right. Now, what on earth did you guys, Paul, what'd you come up with? What was the solution? What is the solution always? To look to you, God. You are the overcoming. You are the one in charge. You are the one presiding over, having the oversight, superintending. You are the one that is the everlasting one, the persevering one, the permanent one that makes it all happen. That's right. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. God opened the prison up. Everyone got loose. Wow. God, you did that. That's right.
And who started that? That was that those two guys that sang in the middle of midnight. There was no reason to sing. They could die. Remember, get out of jail. Wow. They sang. That's what they did. Sing. The overcomer. The overcomer. All right. Ephesians. Ephesians 5, you know. The Spirit of God, verse 18, you know it. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. Let allow the Spirit of God to exercise his wonderful ministry. Be making sure you're accessible to God and that you're accessible for God and God's accessible to you. Verse 18, verse 19, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You're speaking to yourself, speaking to yourself. Now people say, you're crazy, you talk to yourself. No, I'm just singing in my heart. You ever drive along singing? Now, you should be real encouraged today to do that. Because people are walking all around talking, and there's no one near them. No one's near them. They're all going, talking, and doing whatever, and you'll fit right in. You'll fit right in. And they'll wonder how you're doing it with no instrument, you see. Wow. Now, so, speaking to yourselves in Psalms 10, giving thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians. Colossians, close. Chapter 3. You know it. Colossians 3. Let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you, what? Richly? Uh-huh. Why not? The overseer to the chief musician? Why not? It better be. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. In the heart. That's right. Grace of God. It's the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I do what I do. God, help us to make it. And we're looking to God. So we're looking to God, thankfully, trusting God. And in the process, our heart is right, looking to God. So when you get down and done, then look to God. Look to the chief musician, look to the overseer, look to the one in charge, and let your heart be still and know that he's God, and understand that he surrounds you. He's wonderful at doing what he does to save you, if you let him, practically, to save you, encourage you. Psalm 139, who can escape from his presence? No one. So therefore, what am I going to do? I can't do that. I'm going to exercise it. Why not? Why not? I'd be crazy if I didn't do that. I'm going to do it. And what am I going to do? I'm going to look to God. And in the process, in my heart, I'm going to be able to have, God is going to lift my heart up. And my heart. So instead of being sad, I'm going to be more thoughtful, wide awake, and trusting God. And all the things that are absolutely going to kill me and kill the world and make everything go down the tubes here. That doesn't have to make you get on the tubes. After all, you're supposed to be a light in the darkness, as we shared on Sunday. You're supposed to be a little light out there. So be one. That's what to do. Let the rest of it go. Darkness wants to do what it does. Let the darkness do it. Do whatever it's going to do. Men love darkness, what? Rather than light, because the deeds are evil. Now, that's a half a thought to the chief musician. Now, remember Bible school in the hours and minutes ahead? God help us. Not only Bible school, the prison ministry, and all the rest.